Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy, everybody. Today in the studio, we have Tony Buettner. He is a national speaker and is the Senior Vice President of Business Development at Blue Zones. Featured at such events as the Aspen Institute and Estes Park Institute, Tony performs at around 80 events per year. One of Tony's primary tasks is that of project manager for Blue Zones projects. His work encompassing strategic planning, operations, and the facilitation of successful implementation of all Blue Zone community projects. Don't worry, we'll clue you in on what the Blue Zones is all about. Tony brings direct knowledge and insight of the Blue Zones expeditions, research, and insights into those populations to help them live longer and better. His experience gained during his participation on expeditions with his brother Dan Buettner and his over 30 years of world travel bring pertinent experience in the understanding of health and wellness as it relates to populations and cultures. Tony's day-to-day responsibilities at Blue Zones offers deep insight into the research that forms the foundation for the product development and implementation of the methodology behind the Blue Zones projects. This interaction brings deep-seated understanding to how Blue Zones interfaces in the six sectors of communities, which include policy, work sites, restaurants, grocery stores, schools, and with individual engagement. His background in quality management systems complement the rigor and thoughtfulness in developing a scalable product model, as well as one that can be sustained in the Blue Zone project communities. And Mike Cabea and his wife Sylvie and I were recently down in Minnesota's experiment in Albert Lea. And so in a few shows from now, Ellen Kerr, she's leading the Blue Zones Vitality Project down in Albert Lea, Minnesota. She is on the show, and she'll give us some insights into how the project has worked in their community. So welcome to the show, Tony.
Oh, so happy to be here.
Oh, great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And how are you feeling today?
I feel absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
For a Monday, of course.
Yes. And what makes it so great?
Well, I had a wonderful weekend with family, my wife, my dog, my father, our built environment expert, Dan Burden, came and enjoyed our cabin in northern Minnesota.
Nice.
I woke up healthy and happy and had a wonderful day.
Yeah.
So that's a couple reasons.
Yeah. Well, that makes for a great start of the week.
Indeed.
Good. All right. You and I met because you were presenting at the Northwest Youth and Family Services Leadership Luncheon in Roseville on May 3rd. And Mary Jo McGuire is the Ramsey County Commissioner, and she was the one. Did she strong-arm you into presenting?
She did. Her mother is really good friends with my mother, and I got a phone call saying, this is what you're doing this day.
So clear your schedule.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What I thought was amazing in your presentation was the right side of the screen. So we'll go into a little bit of your background.
Sure.
But let's just, since I opened up with talking about the Blue Zones, maybe we should give our audience like a little more perspective on it.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of learn more about how you grew up and just the living with three other brothers and, you know, all that good stuff.
Sure.
Okay. So on the screen, you had those living in the Blue Zones.
So that video is
yeah.
a video that was produced in Canada. And it's a video showing what each of us face in life. We can either live optimal, healthy lives right up to the end, or as all Americans on average will do, we can spend the last 10 years of our lives fighting a chronic disease that most of them are preventable. What we learned in our research that was led by my brother Dan Buettner, finding the longest lived populations, is that the body, human body, is programmed to live to about a healthy age, 90. But here in America, we're living to age 78. We're, in essence, leaving 12 good years on the table. And what we find in the blue zones around the world are people that are getting most of those 12 years back. When these people, these centenarians, get sick, they usually get sick and die very quickly within 9 months. So we have a choice, and the video that you're talking to puts that up on the screen side by side. Do we want to spend that time being sick, or do we want to spend that time with our family, friends, children, grandchildren, living vibrant, happy, healthy lives?
Yeah, exactly. So you grew up locally. I feel like in our country, in Minnesota, the entrepreneurial leaders are kind of under the microscope. Not microscope, but they're under the radar compared to all the other entrepreneurial environments on the East Coast and the West Coast. There's always a lot of showbiz going on with featuring entrepreneurs and innovative leaders and what they're doing. And I feel like in Minnesota, we would like a stronger voice because there's a lot of innovation going on in our state. And your family represents an innovative family that got an idea, you know, by traveling together. So I just feel really honored that, you know, you've taken the time to be here and to share your insights into what you've been learning through your life and spending your life with helping people better their lives. And you can do that through the environment.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Environments and lifestyles. There's a document called the Danish Twin Study Research that talked about, came to the conclusion that 80% of how long we live is not determined by our genes. And I think that's counterintuitive to people. Actually, 80% of how long we live is tied to our environments and lifestyles. Hmm. So our work is really based upon how can we change or help people change, or leaders of communities, people that run homes and businesses, to optimize that environment so that you're just subtly but relentlessly nudged into healthier choices.
Yeah.
And looking at lifestyle traits that have been proven to drive happiness and longevity, things like your sense of purpose and how do you figure out what that purpose is, that mission statement, and then what do you do with those gifts once you figure out that clarity, or the fact that our social networks, our three best friends, have such a profound effect on our lives. And so how can we look at those friendships and optimize those so those friends are helping and nudging and helping you along in your journey?
Yeah, and I noticed in the research in the book that there's like, we spent most of our lives in like a 20-mile radius.
Yeah, when we were asked to develop a population health strategy, we spent about 3 years studying hundreds around the world, and we came to the quick conclusion that none of them work. They are tied to behavior change, and getting 3 to 5% of the population that can reach in and pull that will out to go to the gym every day,
yeah,
to quit smoking, to walk, or to eat healthy, it works for a very small percentage of the people. The rest, including me, we need help. And what we learned was that we spend about 90% of our time in a 5-mile life radius.
Oh, it's 5 miles?
Of where we live and where we work. So our work is based around this life radius concept, to where we help people optimize their home and their social networks and their families so healthy choices are easy. We work with those places we just bump through every day, our workplace, the restaurants we eat at, the grocery stores where we shop, the convenience stores where we stop to get things, schools that our kids go to or we go to, the faith-based communities that we go to, and we provide a perfect storm of well-being through our population health strategies that help those places become a place where the healthy choice is easy. And then working with government leaders to look at the best practices around policies and programs around tobacco or food policy or the built environment that makes it easy for us to move more, eat less, and yeah. be more healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got a concept of the power of nine, or
indeed.
Yeah. And then I'll have a copy of that.
Sure.
On the base of, in the mentoring conversation notes.
Yeah, and the Power Nine simply were the nine commonalities that Dan and his team found in these five places around the world where people live longer, better. They are common sense, but once put in this package, you can really see how having these types of behaviors drive a long, happy life.
Yeah. So if Dan was initiating the research and pulling together the team, while he was doing that, what were you up to?
Yes, indeed. So I come from a family of four boys, and we're all about 2 years apart. And we've grown up liking each other, being involved together, being at traveling together, doing canoe trips to the Boundary Waters or going on summer adventures. Working together as entrepreneurs or being in sports. So as we started to graduate from high school and college, our older brother, who is Dan, came to us and said, before we embark on our lifelong careers, we should look at going on an expedition together. And he proposed a bicycle trip from Alaska to Argentina. To break the Guinness Book of World Records. Now, I wasn't part of that whole trip. My brother Dan and my brother Steve were. My father, my brother Nick, and myself joined this expedition at a different place. For me, it was from Mexico to Nicaragua. But Dan and my brother Steve have went on to break three Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh my
Their second
gosh.
Trip was bicycling through around the world from literally St. Paul to Minneapolis on the 45th parallel. They were the first to traverse the Soviet Union. And then they bicycled from the very northern tip of Africa to the southern tip of Africa, from Bizerte, Tunisia to Cape Town. Those trips really helped hone Dan's writing and speaking skills. From there, my other three brothers, again, Dan, Steve, and Nick, they went on to try to solve some of the mysteries of the world, things like what happened to the Mayan civilization. That was called Maya Quest. And what was so special about that trip was bringing in experts to consult and then sharing the learnings week to week with about a million students around the country. And they actually allowed the students to vote on where the expedition would go. And it was the first time anyone had done this type of interactive learning. And it caught the eyes of National Geographic. They asked Dan to become a fellow and to find the longest lived population. So a long way to get to answering your question is, where was I?
Well, it makes sense.
Part of the early expeditions and the research expeditions, I was part of when it was convenient. At the time, I was living in the Caribbean, where I lived for 20 years. I owned two companies there.
Okay.
Luckily, it's a seasonal area, so I was busy. While our winters here were blowing from October until May. But then during the summer, I had time off, and so I would join the expeditions during that time.
Oh, I see. And what two businesses did you have in the Caribbean?
So I started a adventure travel company and a wholesale business where I traveled to Central America, Southeast Asia, and purchased home furnishings, jewelry, pottery, clothing, and shipped them to the Virgin Islands where I had a wholesale business. So I had about 15,000 products and big 8,000 square foot warehouse, and I had a mail order business and supplied vendors in the Caribbean with things. And then I started, I bought a retail store on the beach called the Barefoot Trading Company and made people take their shoes off before they came in and had a little beach bar and did that for 8 years. So in total, 20 years in the Caribbean.
Well, okay. I had a roommate in college who was from the Virgin Islands. Yeah, it's a gorgeous place. I haven't been, but anyways, great. Yeah, so were you there by yourself, single?
I was. I actually dropped out of college on my third year. I was at the time a maitre d' at a 350-seat dining room.
Okay.
Taking a full load at college, pledging a fraternity and in a sport, and then trying to just be a kid too.
Okay.
And I realized that I was failing at pretty much all those things. And for me, it came to the realization that I was really wasting my time and energy and money because I wasn't focused on that, on succeeding at school. I was too busy. So what I decided is do something for me. And I'd always dreamed of being a ski bum and being a beach bum. And I ended up actually hitchhiking from Minnesota to Chicago with $200 in my pocket and bought a one-way ticket to the Virgin Islands. And I spent 9 months there, the same amount of time I would have been in school. Came home and worked the summer and then moved out to Colorado to Steamboat Springs and started a business there and was a ski bum for a year. So it worked out well for me. They're memories that I cherish and have helped build the adult and the businessman that I am.
Yeah. Well, seeing in all the different communities and cultures and how people live and what they do with their lives, yeah, must have been really interesting.
It was wonderful. What a great experience. You learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, right. That you can take care of yourself too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That there's no challenge that you can't deliver on if you put your mind and your efforts to it.
So what led you back to Minnesota?
So family. We talk about the Power Nine, and one of the Power Nine is putting your family first. In my 20s and 30s, living in the Caribbean, where it was absolutely wonderful. But you learn quickly that there's really only a few things to do there, and that is going to the beach or drinking. And as life goes on, I was busy there and traveling a lot, but I felt I was really losing quality of life and missing out on my family. So
sure.
I came to a point that I realized that I was simply no longer happy there.
Okay.
And that life is too short not to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at what is next for me, and I realized that the one thing I'd failed on was my college education. So I sold my business, and I took about 6 months off and really enjoyed the Caribbean and said goodbye to all the wonderful friends and acquaintances I had met, did the things that I'd wanted to do that I hadn't. And the next day, after I moved back to St. Paul, I started back full-time at the University of St. Thomas. And for me, what was so wonderful is when I left, my cumulative GPA was 1.71. And for your listeners, that's a solid D+. when I came back, I did 2.5 years of studies in 15 months, so about five classes each semester plus two during J term and four during the summer.
Okay.
And I graduated with magna cum laude honors. And I literally didn't know how to open up Word or Excel. So it was a challenge that I was ready for, that I was really engaged in. And it was one of the most proud moments of my life, sitting there and getting a diploma. It was something I just thought I'd never do. And I'm so happy I did it. That's what brought me home.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
And it shows that whatever you set your mind to, you know, you go after it like 100%.
Tenacity.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're like, okay, I'm going to master this.
That's right.
Going to get this, and I'm going to get them done, and I'm going to pack in as many classes as I can.
Or you're just going to simply do the best that you can with the tools and with the knowledge and the tenacity that you have. Just giving it 100%, whatever it is.
Excellent. And so once you got back then and you got your degree.
Got a degree and got an offer to be a COO of a medical equipment company. When I was looking at what is next, this was in about 2008 when things were collapsing. Financially.
Okay.
And I noticed in my research that the medical field was excelling at this time. And so I had a friend who owned a medical equipment company up in Ramsey, Minnesota. And I was offered to take him out to lunch just to learn of the field and how he was doing. And that lunch led to an invitation back to see the operation, which then led to a meeting with the vice president, which landed me in a chair in HR. And before I knew what was happening, I had a job offer and worked there for 3 years. And I had a wonderful time, helped them improve in their quality control and launched a service department for them. I just had an absolute wonderful time, met some wonderful people. But then was approached by my brother Dan. His business, Blue Zones, was starting to explode.
That's right, because he wrote and published his first book, and that was released in 2008.
I don't know the exact date. I'm sorry. He had done Albert Lee, was launching
a
pilot.
That was in 2009, they launched the pilot. Yeah,
They were launching a scalable product and were starting to work in the beach cities. And Dan has always been an extraordinary visionary and thought leader. He thinks on plateaus way above where most people do. But with that, he isn't that detailed person, that person that understands how do I get from this idea to deploying. And I've always been that type of person. It seems with a family of four boys, as you grow, you learn to gravitate where your skill set is. So the reason I say that is because what we're doing as adults, how we complement each other, how we create synergy, is exactly how it was when we were kids. It's just different activities that we're working on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Dan has been that visionary. I've been the organizer. Steve is the fixer of everything. And my younger brother, Nick, is the peacemaker. And what's so interesting, again, is what we're doing as adults, complementing with those skills is exactly how we complemented each other as kids.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And, well, it's great that you've maintained relationships with each other. And so he brought you into the Blue Zones.
Yeah, he did. He brought me in not knowing exactly where I would fit. Being a small business with lots of opportunities, you just kind of dive in and spend that first 3 months just listening and learning and asking questions. And I came forth with multiple ideas to scale and strengthen some opportunities we had. And I was put in charge of product development as we then were scaling into our 15 cities in Iowa. So my job was to work with our partners in this innovation, deploying Blue Zone projects, to work with sponsors and communities and our pledges and approaches and help strengthen and solidify those approaches as we went to scale.
Okay, so you observed and you came into the company, and for 3 months you were kind of figuring out some pieces. And then your job came to deploying the 15 into 15, you just, he decided,
well, what
you
I
need
did,
to go into
no, what I did was
cities?
I came back with two separate things there. One is I came with a list of opportunities and places where I thought I could provide value. At that time, we were going from just Albert Lee and the beach cities to actually piloting our first statewide initiative in Iowa, where we're just getting ready to start working with 15 cities there.
I see.
So I took off from there.
Yeah, right. So just to recap the company and how it's grown is it started with an idea. And did Dan get the idea while you guys were on the bike ride about these communities? Or where did that originate, his initial idea?
I think that once he had bicycled all the continents of the world, he was looking for a way to continue to travel, to learn, to live. And he landed on trying to solve some of the mysteries of the world. Again, the first being what happened to the Mayan civilization. But then, what is the fountain of youth? What is the secret to longevity? And it was that idea and the partnership with National Geographic to fund him to find these five areas that has led to this work. He had gone to the first three, which is Okinawa, Sardinia, Italy, and Loma Linda, California, and wrote a book called The Blue Zones. Mm-hmm. It became a New York Times bestseller. It led to a strategic partnership with a with AARP and the United Health Foundation that approached Dan and asked him, could we actually replicate a blue zone here in America? That led to the pilot in Albert Lea. The successes that came out of Albert Lea caught the eye of a CEO from a company called Healthways that were doing disease management for major insurers and hospital systems and major employers around the country. And the piece they didn't have is how do you affect the population health? And so when the CEO read Dan's book, heard about Albert Lea, he decided that this was the future of healthcare, the future of community health, because the model can't sustain what's happening to it, the costs.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So we formed a 10-year strategic partnership to scale this work. 6 years later, we are in 9 states and 42 communities delivering extraordinary results. In one community, childhood obesity has gone down by 64%. In Albert Lea, that pilot project, after just 13 months, city workers' health care claims went down, tobacco usage in the county went down, people walking and biking increased 80%. And what had been a challenge downtown, as you probably saw, is a vibrant downtown. 40% of the businesses in Albert Lea in the main street were vacant. And as you probably saw, there is no vacancies now. It's a livable, walkable, community-focused heartbeat of that community.
We had lunch at the local bistro. It was just delicious, very great environment. They were having a car show at the time. But what was also interesting in the entire project was how they changed the roads, pulled out some stop signs, made some bike lanes so that the clear message was, if you're driving through town, one, you're going to drive slower, but you're also not going to, you know, take up the entire wide road, that you're going to, you know, turn into your lane so that there's room for bikers.
If you look at things like diabetes, heart disease, and obesity, you see this starting point of when we went from a society where we walked and biked like our parents and our grandparents did to this society that's just built around cars, getting from one place to the next, stress and go, go, go. And there's a huge body of research out there that talks to the importance of your environment. Again, as I started today, 80% of how long you live is tied to your environment and lifestyle. So when we started our work in Albert Lea, they were getting ready to redo their downtown. And their vision was to widen the roads, increase the speed limit, and move people right through town. And we wonder why small communities are drying up.
Yeah.
We brought in our national expert, a gentleman by the name of Dan Burden, who has helped over 3,700 cities around America to date in his career become more walkable, bikeable, and livable. And he's able to articulate how you build these changes, how they can compound and provide value to the community. So he did a walking audit, which is walking with city leaders, telling them what he sees that is good or opportunities, takes a biking audit, and then does a windshield audit looking at the downtown. And instead, what he said was this. He said, why don't you actually look at the neighborhoods around downtown? Because what he noticed is sidewalks weren't connected. There weren't bike lanes. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult for people to come and support those businesses. It was easier for them to get in their car and drive to the strip mall.
Yeah.
So the first thing Albert Lea did was connect those sidewalks, to all four of those neighborhoods, put in bike trails so people could move actively. And then he visioned that the city should actually shrink their main street to provide more wide sidewalks where restaurants could offer outside dining.
Yeah.
Or placemaking, or when it comes to the corners where people have to cross the street, to put bump outs out, which just extend the sidewalk out. It causes cars to slow down, so you have less accidents. If you do have an accident at a lower speed, you don't have the fatalities that you have. It provides older people the opportunity to get across the street in the 16 seconds they have. And with the money they saved, they looked at how about putting in diagonal parking so that you could increase the parking spots, because there's a body of research that shows for each of those you add, it affords an additional $200,000 a year of financial support to those downtown businesses. So within 3 months, we saw an increase of 56% of foot traffic into the downtown. Well, what are those people doing? They're moving naturally. Mm-hmm. They're supporting those downtown businesses. And with the money they saved in that initial project, Albert Lea, as you probably saw, has their gem is Fountain Lake, which is about two blocks from downtown. When we started the Blue Zone work, there was no walkway there. So you had to cross six lanes of traffic to get there. And when you got there, there really wasn't much to do. So with the money they saved, they were able to put in 7 miles of walking trails along the lake. So now on any given day, and you probably saw it when you're down there, you see hundreds of people walking, biking, connecting, socializing. So no need for gyms, no needs for diets, no need for supplements. All those strategies that we use as Americans that work for very few people are short-term wins, but they're long-term failures. So it was really changing the culture of well-being using evidence-based strategies and what we can learn from the longest-lived populations.
And one thing that Ellen Kerr had said also was in working with, what was his name?
Dan Burden.
Yeah, it really empowered people to speak up. Oh, we can change the road. Oh, we can pull out these stop signs.
Yeah,
you know, I had the same experience here in Golden Valley. This road used to not have curbs, and we used to not have a sidewalk here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a park close by, and there's lots of little kids, I was noticing, that always, you know, walk down to the park, and cars are really coming up the hill at a really fast pace.
That's right.
And so the city engineer said, well, let's put a sidewalk in there. And then I said, well, what do you need to do that? And he said, well, have people sign a petition and then go to the sidewalk committee meeting. And so I did that. And I had one person who, you know, didn't want to sign the petition. And that's because he just hates sidewalks.
In any room with 100 people, you're going to always have people that don't agree. And sometimes their reasoning is valid and others they're not. What we hear and see in our Blue Zone projects is that we're able to empower community leaders to broaden the input of people that are involved. We see about 45% of residents in our communities actually participating in our Blue Zone projects. So for city leaders that are typically at a city council meeting, it's the same 10 to 20 people that show up and complain about everything. Well, we've heard community leaders in our Blue Zone cities is there's hundreds of people that show up when there is a policy or program that is like-minded, that's encouraging people to connect more, eat better, move more, things that are health-minded. And there's hundreds of people that show up and say, why wouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't we provide a benefit for our kids and for people to move? And
that's what was impressive when we went down there, was how all the leaders, so the superintendent of schools and the parents and restaurant owners, and that everybody was really coming together for a higher purpose.
That's
a greater
right.
goal for the community.
That's right.
So, but it was because I think they had great leadership, and you guys provided like resources, and you really educated the population and helped them to build the infrastructure to really support it. Because if there isn't good leadership, you know, there's a lot of infighting and, you know, fighting about little things like a curb or, you know, or a stoplight or whatever. But it sounds like even though you have these people that aren't in agreement, the majority of the people were coming together for a common goal, and that was to make our community more vital and, you know, better.
That's right, yeah. One of the things that we learned in studying community health initiatives is the biggest reason the majority of them fail is because the approach that's being used in that community is siloed.
Yeah.
So they're
not going across.
Right.
Right.
So they feel good, and the thought is good. But what I hear over and over again is we're not seeing the measurable impact. And our strategy and our vision was if we could stack the deck to where everyone was in a community was marching in the same direction, that there'd be this enormous synergy that'd be created. Mm-hmm. And indeed, that's what we find when we are able to bring evidence-based and value and measure that in a community. People get on board because the message here isn't to control people's activities. It is to look at the longest-lived populations, to tap into their wisdom, and then use evidence-based strategies and measurements to change a community, to bring them all together and to change our society so that, as we look today, almost 70% of Americans are overweight and obese. How do we change it?
Yeah. Well, that's a good place to end our session. Thank you so much for our wonderful conversation and for expanding our knowledge about the Blue Zones. So your process of how you pull everything together, it really helps people to integrate it and take ownership of it. And I just appreciate what you're doing. And I was wondering if you could come back for a second mentoring conversation.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think what Albert Lee shows and the other communities that have gone through Blue Zone projects is that if you educate and inspire and give a proven approach and empower leaders, that power and that vision can literally change the population in a community, and you saw that in Albert Lee.
Yeah. So thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And thanks for tuning in, everybody. And start doing some positive things for your community and connecting with your neighbors and getting involved in different ways that help your whole community become better. So we'll see you next Monday. Thanks, Tony, for being here. And Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. Thanks for being here. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process. Along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning, we do what works. Get involved, get in started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.